The Soul versus the Program. That's coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Stay tuned. Hi, and welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I am so glad you are here with me today. For those of you who have been following the Parker J. Cole Show, you'll notice that the last 2 weeks I was off the air, and I'll just be honest, I was just dealing with some book deadlines. As those of you know, my output is increasing this year, so I was dealing with some book deadlines, but I'm so glad to be back on air and glad to be continuing our series on artificial general intelligence with my returning guest co-host, R.D. Palmer. This segment, we are talking about the human element of artificial general intelligence. And just go through our archives on pjcmedia.net to get the other side of the story, the first three parts of our series, talking about artificial general intelligence, the machine element, and now we're contrasting the machine element with the human element. And this has been a fascinating series to discuss. There's so much more where that came from. I was telling RD on our last show, Between the Scenes, that we haven't really touched this topic, and there's so much to it. So we are going to continue this series for as long as we have content, because I believe this information is so valuable for Christians and non-believers alike to understand the impact of technology as it interferes with our freedom, interferes with our privacy, and interferes with our data. And there's so much more to this topic than just whether or not computers are good or bad. It's whether computers can overshadow human creativity and thus supplant humanity. There's so much to this topic, so I'm glad you are with us for the show. And without further ado, I'm going to reintroduce our guest co-host and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. R.D., how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you, Parker. So good to be with you and your audience. I'm really happy to be here and happy to be talking about this topic for sure. Hey, if you will, Parker, I've got some really exciting news. I've got some wonderful news I just want to share with your audience just for a moment.
Sure.
I know somebody that's going to have a birthday very soon, and all of us, we know that individual, we love that individual, and I'm not asking your audience to do this now, but maybe after the show or sometime this week, I want you to know that Parker's going to be having a birthday. It's coming up soon. And I'm just saying, hey, let's use this opportunity to wish her well. And it's whether you send an email or you're using social media, this is an opportunity just to say, hey, Parker, we appreciate everything that you do and what you're doing not only with your books but the way that you're reaching out in really a ministry-type fashion. So happy birthday to you, Parker. And, again, I just encourage the audience, listeners, that they'll reach out to you too.
Thank you so much, RG. Yeah, my birthday is coming up, and it's a scientific fact that the more birthdays you have, the longer you live. It's a scientific fact. So I'm so thankful that I am scientifically proven to be living longer, and I thank the Lord for that opportunity. And so I'm looking forward to my birthday. For those of you who want to know when my birthday actually falls this year on Easter. So I feel extremely doubly blessed to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow, in Him who I have everything I am. So I'm so thankful that He is allowing my birthday to fall on the day we recognize His resurrection. And thank you so much, RD, for letting the world know that my birthday is coming up. I appreciate that. So let's get back to that artificial general intelligence thing we were talking about. Much more exciting than my birthday there. Much more exciting. But, you know, this topic is so fascinating. And like I was telling our listeners before, once you become aware of the things that you have discussed with us, once you become aware of that, you start to see the world in a different way. All of a sudden, you become very paranoid almost. Not paranoid like go hide in a bunker, but you just become paranoid by how much of your information is out there to be collected by artificial intelligence, particularly if people are developing artificial general intelligence to take over our human ability to create, our human ability to have privacy, our human right to have privacy, I think, and then other parts of our humanity. And so these things become, you become very much well aware of them the more you delve into this topic. But what I wanted to do with this segment of the show is to show that even though AGI is quite powerful, there's something AGI will never have, and that's the human element. And this segment, we're going to start a discussion off with the human soul versus the artificial intelligence program. And I think this is a very important part of our topic. The reason why is because we're going to contrast the soul of man versus, quote-unquote, the soul of artificial intelligence. We can use that those terms usefully. So let me do this. I'm going to read a Bible verse, one that I believe is very, very much well known to most of the believers out there who pick up the Bible and dust it off every once in a while. I think it's very common. And so in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, it says this. I'm reading from the King James Version for poetic, because I like the poetic of it, not because I'm a KJV owner. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to have RD expound on these verses and talk about the soul versus the program. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation. A literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are in our series, Artificial General Intelligence, Part 4, The Human Element. And we're going to begin our discussion contrasting the soul, the human soul, versus the program, which is the soul, quote-unquote, artificial general intelligence. And RD is here with us as he is our main expert on this topic about technology, faith, Christianity, secularism, and so much more when it comes to artificial general intelligence. What I did before the break is that I read a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. The reason why I read Genesis chapter 1, talking about how God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the earth." And then in chapter 2, it goes further to show that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is very significant for me when I analyze these two verses, because it means that we are God-breathed, that the Spirit of God lives in us. So, let's contrast that when it comes to the Artificial General Intelligence Program. We're going to be contrasting this with some of the thoughts from RD. And so, RD, you heard what I said about that. I would love to get your opinion on bringing this whole topic of the soul versus the program to light. So go ahead and share your thoughts with us.
Wow. Actually, this one topic about the soul, and of course, now that we're introducing artificial intelligence, specific or narrow, and then, of course, general artificial intelligence eventually, it's really huge. As a matter of fact, this topic is so huge, Parker, that both in secular universities as well as in theological colleges, this topic of the soul is really discussed. And from a biblical standpoint, you hit the nail on the head as far as reading some verses. Now, from a biblical standpoint, there's over 700 references about the soul in the Old Testament and over 300 references about the soul in the New Testament. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, Parker, this subject is so big. Literally, there's classes both on secular side as well as in theology universities that about this subject. And if you will, I'd like to touch on three different areas. One, certainly from a biblical standpoint, because of the fact that that's where I come from, and I'm going to leapfrog from the verses that you have. But also my career, as people that have listened on previous sessions with you, they know that I come from a science background. So I just briefly want to touch on a science background of what we're talking about. I want to touch just briefly on a philosophical standpoint, but then mostly spend the time pertaining to this question from a religious or a Christian standpoint. Briefly, from a scientific standpoint, it's very interesting because when we talk about soul, scientists say, well, I need to weigh something. I need to be able to photograph, or I need radiation. I need some mechanism to tell whether or not that there's a soul. However, what's interesting, and again, I'm speaking from a scientific standpoint, again, my degree is from the scientific realm, is that scientists will tell us that everything that we see, like, for example, I'm looking out the window today, and I see trees, and I see a road. Obviously, we've got the Earth, we've got the Moon, we've got galaxies that are out there. We actually have the whole universe. And we know that from science that there was a Big Bang and that the universe is expanding. What scientists will tell us is that all of this that we can see, it came from nothing. So on one side, they're saying that the soul, we need to be able to weigh it or photograph it in order to see it. And yet on the other side, they're saying that everything that we can see came from nothing. So I thought that was kind of an interesting standpoint where, from a scientific standpoint. From a philosophical standpoint, we've got people that are literally on both sides of the camps. That there's some philosophers that believe in souls, historical philosophers as well as there's some philosophers that said believe in souls and some that don't. And it was this concept of dualism, which actually a big proponent of that, Rene Descartes, for those of you that might have studied philosophy, he's the person that said, I think, therefore I am. And he came up with he was actually doubting everything. And he doubted that he existed. He came to the point in his life, he said, there's no life, there's no God, there's no anything. But he came to the point that he couldn't doubt that he was doubting. And because he couldn't doubt that he was doubting, he said, I must be thinking. And if I'm thinking, therefore I exist. And that's where he comes up with, I think, therefore I am. Pretty famous philosopher. And just one other note about that, since he was the person that most relates to dualism from a philosophical standpoint, he says that the mind, which you can't touch the mind, and the body, they're distinct. They're distinct elements, right? And there was another philosopher by the name of Plotinus, Plotinus, about 280 or something such as that. He said that there are three key principles, and the reason why I bring him up is because his writings and his thinking affected Christianity. It affected the Gnostic movement, which we know that was at the early church history, as well as it affected the Buddhism and Hinduism, so it was just massive. But his three things, his three key principles was the intellect, okay, and the mind, and, the soul. I said the intellect, the soul, and the one. So that's from Plotinus. The soul being the principle that is of desire, and of course the intellect, that which you cannot touch, and his concept of called the one, which actually has his form of what is called goodness emerges from that, and logos emerges from that. And you go back and take a look at those philosophical readings about the, what he says about the soul, that actually affected, and you'll see it in early Christian writings as you'll see it in other religious writings from even the Far East, for example. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give that as a little bit of background that there's that this is what we have, okay, both from a scientific standpoint that they're saying, hey, if I can't feel it and touch it and record it, I can't see it, but yet science is saying that everything came from nothing. And then from a philosophical standpoint, that there are certainly philosophers that believe that there is a soul, right, that there's intellect, that there's consciousness. And to come back a little bit with what you said, that if we take a look on the Greek word of what we're talking about with the soul, it's psychosis. And that's where mm-hmm. we get our word psychology, right? And so even from a psychological standpoint, this whole stream of learning and discipline and study comes from that, to try to understand, you know, what is happening. I would say, and this is a little bit of a nuance, and I'm not trying to be picky here, but a number of people from a religious standpoint, when I say religious, I mean not only from a Christian standpoint, but if you go to Islam or if you go to Hinduism and stuff such as that, you know, that a lot of those, that they'll believe in souls. Now, there's different concepts of souls, but mm-hmm. the key thing is that they'll say that I have a soul. Okay, and I'm not trying to get picky on words, but if you have something, you could actually lose it. An example is that if I have money in my pocket, I could lose that money. If I have an automobile, I could lose it, that. So Christian, if we take a look at early Christian writers, what they have said, and of course if we're reading the Bible, it's that you are a soul, not that you have a soul. And I make that distinguishment mm-hmm. because of the fact that with a soul, a soul gives us that eternal life, okay? That exactly mm-hmm. as you said, that God breathed into us and that we have eternal life. So with that, for example, and a couple verses, I'll leapfrog or jump board, if you will, from what you were saying in Luke chapter 23. So this is when Jesus is crucified and he's talking with one of the people that's also on the cross, and he says, truly I tell to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So in other words, that yes, the body perishes, but the soul goes beyond that. And in Matthew, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? So you can have a lot of great things that's happening to you, but this soul is what is eternal. And that's, I think, that what we need to remember as far as decisions, if you will, that are in life, right? And if I'll use one more verse here, and it comes from Ecclesiastes. Now, as I mentioned, I think earlier on the show at Ecclesiastes, we know that Solomon had wrote this, and if you have to really read the whole chapter, you just can't pick out one verse and say that that's what it is. You know, it's part of hermeneutics, and hermeneutics is, you know, the study of how do you interpret. But anyway, so in Ecclesiastes 12:7, he says, then the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So we have mm-hmm. that God knew us before we were born, and yet when we die, that spirit, that soul, will return back to God. And that is a difference, a key difference between us and artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence, at the most, even if we send it out in space, It only has a few billion years, which is certainly longer than us, but eventually mm-hmm. it dies. With us, what we're talking about is that being eternal and eternal with God. And that is a key thing that separates us between artificial intelligence, okay, it is the soul. And God gave us that soul, and that soul can live with God through eternity.
You know, I have to say this as I listen to your insightful comments into this, because as I was researching and getting my thoughts together for the show today, one of the things that came to mind was that computer programs degrade. And you touched about this. You say you could send a computer into space. It may last for a few billion years, but eventually it corrupts. Now, here's the interesting thing. A computer program can become corrupted. A soul can become corrupted. But one of these things is capable of being reversed. And I was thinking about that as you were talking, because let's say we do send out artificial intelligence to wherever. You know, Elon Musk wants to go to Mars eventually and colonize the planet, and then we'll go on from there. And then we'll have a bunch of Musk-like colonies all over the universe. It's awesome. Totally awesome. So anyway, we want to do that, but at the same time, if a computer corrupts, eventually you cannot save that program. But the soul that is corrupt, and we know what we mean by corrupt, we talk about how sin corrupts us. When Christ comes into our lives, he reverses that corruption, and he reverses that. That's why I was wanted to make that point there. And then feel free to correct me where I'm wrong when I use that, because computer programs will eventually degrade permanently and lose their quote-unquote immortality, where a soul will never lose that immortality. And the soul can become corrupt, but it can be healed, whereas a computer program loses everything. There is no redemption for that computer program. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you bring up a good point about redemption and corruption and things such as that, and that really comes back to, if you will, sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when we sin against God, that is corruption, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And yet
mm-hmm.
we can be redeemed, and if you're mm-hmm. part of the Christian belief, that redemption is through Christ's blood, and we can have forgiveness that way, but yet we don't have that from an AI side. So AI can be corrupt in that it can destroy, but it's not the same as with us. And with us, from a Christian standpoint, from a biblical standpoint, we see that God has a special relationship with humans. Certainly we know that God created animals, and, you know, he created the birds that are in the air and the beasts of the field and stuff such as that, but it's relationship, and I'll use that word, relationship. It's that relationship that he desires with us, and then he gives us a soul. And then, unfortunately, we've had this corruption in our life, which is called sin. And sin, if you will, is a separation from God, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
if we take a look from a biblical standpoint, and we see, if we go back all the way to Genesis chapter 2, and we see sin being there. And with that, what happens is that in Genesis chapter 2, but of the tree of knowledge, and I thought that was interesting, the tree of knowledge, because we're talking about knowledge increasing with artificial intelligence, but here we say the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, they didn't surely die the day they ate of it physically,
mm-hmm.
but they died a spiritual death. And that's the corruption, if you will, that we have between us and God. It's that sin, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so another thing that I wanted to mention, too, was that what you made mention of how we have a special relationship with the Lord. You know, we were created for worship, and we were created for community, and we were created for communion. And with that, you have to contrast our relationship with God who created us with the artificial intelligence relationship that we have. Tell us what is strikingly different about these two different relationships.
So just to repeat, our relationship with God is compared. Would you repeat that again, Parker, for me, please?
No problem. And I knew I get a little confused because so many thoughts are going through my head. So, no, what I mean is that the relationship we have with God, we were created for worship, we were created for community, and we were created for communion. How is that different with the artificial general intelligence that we create? How is our relationship different? Because we're the creators of this artificial general intelligence. How is that different?
Right. Well, there's a tremendous amount of difference. So first of all, we worship God. Now, I fear, as has been mentioned in previous segments that we've had, radio segments, that I fear that people will worship AI. But God is not only all-powerful, all-seeing, and he's also gracious. So the reason why we worship God is not because of the fact that he's an all-powerful beast that can hit us down, but because of the fact that we want to return the love that he has given to us, right? And there's a communion that we have with him, and that communion is done through prayer. And you know, some people would say petitioning and things such as that. But it's that opportunity to relate to God. And then God does, and we've seen this over and over again, not only in Bible passages, but even you know, in churches and things such as that, that God does answer prayers. Now, certainly there's answers that we don't expect, but that's part of the relationship that we have with God and part of us being Christian. And I think that that definitely separates us between a relationship with God, being human, and a relationship with AI. Now, on the relationship with AI, what we have is that even today, if I speak of narrow AI, or specific AI, and then eventually AGI, which is the artificial general intelligence, we have man that is creating that AI. So man, of course, is imperfect, and we're trying to create entities that are super, super knowledgeable. That's what we're trying to do. And in that process, you know, I mentioned that there's a tendency that even in Japan, if I remember this correctly, that there's the Buddhists, there's some Buddhists that are worshiping an artificial entity as we speak today, and they're trying to commune with that artificial entity by doing prayer. But you see, that artificial entity doesn't relate to them on a human basis. When I say human basis, it's the pain, the suffering, the emotions that we have. And if I could, Parker, I think that this is a huge difference. This is a huge difference between Christianity and the other world religions. And that is that with Christianity, our God, Christ, took human form. And because he took human form, he's experienced all the same emotions. He's experienced the same pains. He's experienced the heartaches. So he knows intimately firsthand, and that's a key difference between what we have on the human factor with us worshiping God, Christ, and that relationship that we have to be one with him as compared to the artificial intelligence, which doesn't have that bondage, that connection from a human standpoint.
And I think that's a significant point to make, because in the battle for ideas, in this colossal coliseum of worldviews and things all crashing together, we have to bring out the things that are pertinent to the discussion, and that is one of them. And I unequivocally say, without any doubt in my mind, that Christ is the only way, the truth. He is the way, the truth, and life, the only way to get to God. Unequivocally, I say that. And to say such a thing is very not politically correct, but I don't want to be politically correct, and I hope to God I never will. I can be, what's the word I want to say? I can be cordial to everybody, you know, but I'm not going to back down on that. And this is why it's so important to talk about AGI, because if people are going to worship their own creations, you have to kind of think about, then what are you really worshiping? You're worshiping yourself. And if you're going to worship yourself, you're going to recognize the flaws that you have within yourself. And that's going to take us to the next part of our topic, when we talk about the soul versus the program. And the next part of our topic is talking about sin and salvation. Is God's grace what makes a difference between AI and humans? So I want you to kind of simmer in that real quick, RD, while we go ahead and take a quick break. And for those of you who are listening in, feel free to call in or weigh in on the discussion, 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity, or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. This is part 4 of our Artificial General Intelligence series. This part is discussing the human element. We're talking about the soul versus the program. Is the Artificial General Intelligence program more superior than the human soul? What does this have to do about creator versus creator, God who created man who created machine? There's a lot of things going on with this topic, and we are just scratching the surface of this. But if you want to listen to the other parts of this series, I encourage you to go through our archives. Go to AGI Parts 1, 2, which are talking about the machine element, and then this part, Part 3 and 4. And let me tell you, this series is going to have a lot of different things that we're just going to scratch the surface on because it's a massive, massive topic. But what we hope to give you as you listen to this series is to know that, first of all, you are wonderfully created, that the Lord loves you, and that, guess what, He will love you until the end. And that is something artificial general intelligence cannot do. And RD, once again, thank you for being with us today on the show, for helping us to expand on the topic. Before we went into break, we talked about how the soul versus the program differs for each of us. I kind of did like it's a creator versus creator kind of thing, you know. The other thing is that leads us to the topic about sin and salvation, and does God's grace make the difference? Let's go ahead and expand on that. So go ahead and tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, that is a huge topic. So a couple things. So one is that we believe that we've sinned. If you take a look even in other religions, they believe that there's sin, right? And it's a shortness, if you will, between us and God. And as a matter of fact, Paul wrote in Romans, it was Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then also in that same chapter, chapter 3, he says, therefore, no one will be declared righteousness in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of sin. So isn't that interesting that because of the law, we knew about sin? And if I could go back to what, before the break, we were talking about with Adam and Eve. So when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They covered themselves. And I think that that's very interesting as it relates to AI, because as it relates to AI, AI is knowledgeable, but it doesn't cover itself. And also, if I could say, with animals don't cover themselves, okay? So, excuse me, apologize for that. But if we talk about sin, what it really comes down to is it's a separation from God, as we said, and it's not that we surely die physically, but it's that separation from the spiritual side. For salvation is that reuniting with God. And this is what we have. And let me take a sip of water. Excuse me just a moment.
No, no, you're fine. You're fine. I like the way you're expanding on that.
So
you're fine.
I was saying, so sin is specifically human, as compared to it is not within artificial intelligence, and salvation is specifically human, which means it's a salvation is negating that sin or reuniting with God, whereas with artificial intelligence, that's not. We bring up a concept that is hammered over and over again, especially in the New Testament, and even especially in Paul's writings, where it's talking about grace. And grace, really, if we take a look at it, what it is, it's unmerited favor. So in other words, we know that we can't get closer, we can't bridge that gap between us and God by obeying the law, because all of sin and all of us, you know, fall short. But what we can do is, because of God's grace, Him reaching out to us, that unmerited favor, we can have that relationship again with God. And that's a huge difference between us and AI. So with AI, there is no concept of sin, and there is no concept of having grace. As I said, people say that, you know, the artificial intelligence is smarter, and they'll pray to that AI, but there's no, well, we have harmed AI. We have looked at AI's laws. AI doesn't have that, but God does have laws, and God does give us grace to be back in union with Him. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
I was thinking, too, you went to Romans. I'm actually going to Romans 1, 22-24. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. And I actually found this quite interesting. And yes, I am extrapolating here. This is not gospel. This is just me extrapolating for a minute. If you think about, he said, changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. The first thing I started thinking about was artificial general intelligence. And then I got to thinking about and birds and four-footed beasts. And yes, this is not gospel. This is just me with my writer brain thinking. You know, AI wouldn't be bound by limitations like we have. Like, it doesn't have feet. It doesn't have feet. It doesn't have hands and heart and stuff like that. And this is every creeping thing. And I'll start thinking about how we can make an artificial intelligence very small. You know, people are talking about nanites. You know, every sci-fi trope out there has nanobots and nanites and stuff like that. And that becoming more and more part of reality. Microchips that are very, very small that could be implanted. I mean, so these things kind of, if you extrapolate it, not to supplant the gospel or anything like that, but if you extrapolate that, you can see how this is, you can relate that to artificial general intelligence almost. So instead of being wise because they're actually put themselves as fools because you're worshiping something you created, and then you change that into So that's what I was thinking of as I was listening to what you were saying. What do you think about that? Because, again, I'm not trying to change the word of God. I truly believe he's talking about idol worship here. But if you were to extrapolate that, you can see some parallel. You know, you can see some parallel here. What's your thoughts?
That's a really great way to look at Romans, specifically, as you said, on chapter 1. So one of the things that came to mind for me is that so many things that we do, we are fools. That we create things that actually destroy us. Now, certainly not in all cases, right? But obviously in the past we've created things such as nuclear weapons, which have destroyed cities and stuff such as that. And I think from our artificial intelligence side, now I firmly believe, and again, my degree's in science, and my career's in science, I firmly believe that there's a lot of good things that will come with artificial intelligence. I believe that. But yet on the flip side, I think that there's some things that we just need to be careful, and specifically as Christians, and getting away from saying that artificial intelligence is helping us to a point to where we say that we're now fools because of the fact that what we create, we want to worship. And what we create, we want to worship, that's similar to idols, right? To where a person that they create an idol, maybe that idol doesn't talk to them, and now we're smart enough to give some kind of an intelligence to an idol. That's what it is. And we're not meant to to do that, but I fear that that's the direction that many are going.
Well, you said in our last broadcast, you said how they had created a church of the way, and the way was talking about artificial general intelligence. And one thing you said, I think you said it was Hitchens, I believe you said, or was another prominent atheist, so we're finally going to create a God we can live with. And I kind of have to chuckle a little bit at that, because he's actually making perfect sense, because AI won't demand our holiness. AI won't demand our needs to be right. It would just demand obedience. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it would demand that you would follow whatever program. And that is that differs a lot from Christ, because Christ doesn't just demand obedience. Christ demands change and conform ourselves to him. But we have to do it with free will. He will never force himself on us. My mother always said, the Lord is a perfect gentleman. He would never force himself on us. And that freedom to choose to love him, to accept the gift of salvation, AI could never do anything like that. And that's why when you go to in the scripture, you go to the Song of Mary. After the angel came to her and said that she would give birth to the child, to the Christ child, she says here, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoice in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden," and it goes on from there. And what happens is that she is worshiping God because she chooses to give Christ, bring Christ into the world. That is a choice that he gave. He said he chose her, but she also had a choice to either be obedient or to not be obedient. And what did she say? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." And that is the difference between artificial general intelligence and what God does for us. He gives us that choice. And I think that's very, very important in this topic about the human element and how it relates to our relationship with God and how it relates to our relationship with artificial general intelligence. You don't have a choice. Or you have a false sense of choice. It gives you A or B. You know, do you want, you know, chocolate shakes? Or do you want vanilla shakes? It doesn't give you, "Hey, I want mint chocolate shakes." You know, it doesn't give you that option on a simplistic level. What are your thoughts about that, R.D.?
I think you're right on. And that person was Sam Harris, and definitely anti-religious. And he said that we're in the process of creating a God, and hopefully this is a God that we can live with. But a couple things that come to mind for me is that we know for a fact that even in narrow AI, which exists today, that narrow AI is smarter, can beat humans. I mean, you even take a look at a dumb calculator, right? A dumb calculator can come up with mathematical answers quicker than a human. But now, as we approach general AI, what can happen, which is different, as you were saying, Parker, as compared to God, where God gives us leeways and God is patient, what with constraints or problems that humans may have. I'll give you as an example. This is, of course, a little bit hypothetical, but because there's a depletion of food, right? Everybody around the world doesn't have the same amount of food, and you know, if we had food and water for everybody, then that could certainly nourish people, right? Well, AI's answer by taking a look at this, instead of God's answer, is to be there to allow us to pray and to reach out to those people that are hurting. That's the way that God answers. AI's answer will say, well, there's too many humans on the face of the earth, and if we eliminate 50% of the humans, then there'll be more food for everybody else.
The Thanos solution.
Exactly.
He just has to snap his finger and, you know, half the universal population will be gone. He just needs 5 more stones. But anyway, that's another subject for another time. Oh, gosh, you got to love pop culture at the weirdest moments, doesn't it? You know? And I like how you say that, though, because it would logically conclude this. The Lord, you know, it's funny because the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And we're saying something completely different. We need to get rid of people. I remember this one creation scientist I used to listen to. I forgot who he was talking about. I'm not going to say his name because he's very controversial, but you may know who I'm talking about. But he made a joke, and he said, someone says, too many people, we need to get rid of some of them. He was like, all right, you first.
You first, that's right.
You first. You know, help be part of the solution, you know. So
that's right.
When we get back, we're going to continue our discussion with RD about the human element, artificial general intelligence. We're contrasting the soul and the program. We did that for the first half of our broadcast. And then we talked about sin and salvation and how that relates to this whole thing about this, about the soul and the program. And when we come back, we're going to touch briefly on just one more topic before we end it, and that is family, social connectivity, being alone, humans, and AI. What's that all about? You can call in at 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on yeticooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at yeticooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5, talking about the human element as it relates to artificial general intelligence. This series is all about making you aware of artificial general intelligence, its limitations, its superiority in some factors, and what you can do about it. Because at the end of the day, you can affect what goes on around you. You do not have to be subjected to anyone's rule but the Lord's. And the Lord says, come to me, all ye who are laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, you can choose to have your burdens to be taken, have them taken away if you follow the Lord. But AI cannot do that and can never really ever do that. If anything, it put more and more restrictions on you. If you don't believe me, listen to the first three parts of this series talking about artificial general intelligence. It's a very real threat and what you can do about it. RD, once again, thank you so much for being with us to talk about this, because if we talk about the soul versus the program, we have to talk about the human element. And the human element is the soul. The human element is that the soul is corrupted by sin, but that God made a way for us to be redeemed by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. And the last part for this part of our topic is the fact that people and social connectivity, family, isolation, all of that relates to the human element. So let's talk about this briefly in a few moments that we have left. Family. Now, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this really hard because I happen to love my family very much. And you and I were talking in between the break. We were talking about how, you know, both of us have experienced a loved one dealing with cancer. And like my twin sister, she had ovarian cancer, and your wife with her cancer. And that family there, knowing that we have each other's back, that we can connect to each other, that's a human element that artificial intelligence will never have. Go ahead and expand on that for us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that actually goes back to the last segment that you and I had, and that is empathy. And unless you're a human, you don't really have empathy for an individual, you know, because now you can really understand you know, what somebody is going through when they're as an example, battling cancer. So that comes back to what's unique about us and what artificial intelligence doesn't have. Artificial intelligence does not have that empathy, and actually does not even have an awareness. And by awareness, I mean that so when artificial intelligence is working, it has no awareness that there is other artificial intelligent entities that may be around it, right? Whereas with us as humans, we have that awareness, even starting at a very early age. And I would say that a key difference between us and artificial intelligence is that on the human side, all of us are related. From a scientific standpoint, we can take a look at what's called mitochondrial DNA. And mitochondrial DNA, everybody on the face of the earth, and according to scientists, everybody that has ever lived, every human that has lived goes back to one individual, the Eve, you know? And it's because of the fact that they can trace mitochondrial DNA. So all of us are related, and you've probably seen some pictures or words of it, you know, that we're all cousins, we're related with one another. Whereas on an artificial intelligence side, they don't have that. On a human side, there's this fear of loneliness, or monophobia is what they call it in psychological terms, you know, and we really want to be connected. Behaviorists have stated that even as early as 8 weeks old, that they've been able to monitor this, that humans have that fondness, that longing to belong. And so by belonging, that makes us, again, uniquely human. Whereas on the artificial intelligence side, there is no belonging, there is no awareness, and there is no family that's associated with that. God created us specifically unique, and that uniqueness, again, this is kind of a little bit from the last session that we had, but God created us with feelings, and he wants us to have those feelings, and those feelings relate. And actually with those feelings also, we're able to relate to God. And the key feeling, which Paul speaks of in talking about that the greatest of these is love. So
love.
It's that feeling of, yes, it's that feeling, that expression of love, love that we can have and support, whether it be with a person that's having cancer or happy birthday to caring about others, which is an artificial intelligence has no concept. There's no way for it to conceive of that. It can recite to you, as I mentioned previously on Project Debater, so it's an IBM, so on that program of Project Debater, it can out-debate anybody. It knows more data and more facts, and it can speak and articulate extremely well, so it knows it, but yet it has no connection. And yet God created us because of the fact that he wants us to have that connection. All of us dealing with mitochondria DNA, we're all related, and that it comes back to a key thing, which is love.
You know, I was just thinking as I was listening to you that someone in our listenership may ask, you know what? What about the example that you used in your previous broadcast where you talk about the bots that Facebook had created and they started to create their own language so they can talk to each other?
Yeah.
Isn't that a sign of family? Because they had to create a new language to talk to each other, would that be a sign of family? And I think I was just thinking about that. Yeah. I think there's a good answer to that. But just in case, let's talk about that for a few moments. What do you think?
Well, family means that you're caring for one another, that you're helping one another, that you do things for each other, right? And that maybe you even get upset with one another. What we're talking about over on Facebook, it's just communication. So it's just a language skill that was encrypted, if you will, that those two entities started talking to each other. I don't know that says that they were trying to help each other or trying to console one another. It was just more of an encryption language thing.
Okay. Well, I thought I would just ask that because it literally came to my mind. I said, what about that? But then as soon as you said that, I started thinking about the opposite of that, which is like gang members. And people who are in gang members, what do they say? We are what? Family. Now that, yeah, they get together and hurt other people and do drugs and violence. We know about that. But like you said, they care about each other. They console each other. They have you leave by dying. you usually can't get out of it. But I'm saying, but you said something interesting, how family isn't always blood related. You know, it's not always blood related per se. It's the connectivity that we have. And I got to thinking about servers, computer servers, because all they do is to create a network, and they don't create a family. And I was thinking about that too. So that's why I wanted to ask you that question as we were talking about that. Another thing you mentioned, and I have to diverge a little bit, do you remember the story of the young girl who was found, and she was called a feral child because her mother, she had no human interaction from the time of her birth until she was found by a Child Protective Services when she was like 7 years old. And it's called The Girl in the Window. Oprah had her on, Oprah did like a segment on her, and they talked about how she was severely underdeveloped because she had no human connection. She couldn't even function. And even though she's like 20 something years old now, because the gentleman who took her, he adopted her as his daughter, and it took so many years, and she'll never be quite on par with everyone else, but that human connectiveness is needed for children like that. What do you think about that? If you kind of get where I'm going with that, I kind of went off tangent a little bit, but do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know the story of the feral child. Of course, I've read some things that I think it was, you know, where people were raised by wolves, so I'm familiar with the concept. But yes, mm-hmm. if you take a look at it from a behaviorist standpoint, it's that. And that individual, that child can be adopted. So exactly as you mm-hmm. said, it doesn't have to be blood-related. But it's that whole, if you will, giving and caring and touching, if you will, and attending to needs. That's what makes really us human and helps us to become strong humans, and I'll call them sane humans as compared to some of these humans that are, you know, a little bit loony because of the fact that they haven't, as they grew up in environments to where there was no consoling or touching or helping out the child. And that's unfortunate, but that's the reality of the way that some of the households are. So.
Yeah, you know, you bring up something too, and I was thinking about that. Because some people have horrible childhoods. They grew up in horrible conditions. They grew up or experienced horrible traumatic things that happened to them. And so in a way, I can see how having the disconnectedness of an artificial intelligence may be actually alluring, because with that, there's no pain, there's no love, there's no hate, there's just existence. But like we said before, we were not meant to just exist. I was thinking of a video I saw on Facebook, and they showed these animals and their owners who have passed away. And one of the most ones that just, it hits me every time I see it is they showed this husky lying on a gravestone, and it's just breathing really hard. You could tell that he misses his owner. And if a dog can feel that sense of destruction when someone it loves is gone, how much more us? How much more do we need that connection? Okay. And, I thought about that because with AI, they can never feel sorry that you're gone. It can never feel sorry that you're dead. It can never feel sorry that you're no longer in this world. It can never feel sorry about that because it doesn't have empathy. It doesn't have that connection, whereas humans do. And if you don't have the connection, someone else dies, how effective are you in anyone's life? So those are some of the things that we're talking about when we talk about artificial general intelligence, as we talk about the human element, as we talk about the part we play in this discussion of man versus machine. And so when we come back, we'll have our next show pretty soon. We're going to continue our discussion of AGI and the human element and the machine element. And so, RD, I want people to have an opportunity to connect with you, so go ahead and give us your social media outlets.
Yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of me is go to rdpalmerbooks.com, and if you go down to the bottom, there's a contact area. Contact me if you've got any questions or Whatever I can do to assist you, I'm more than happy to do that. So it's R.D. Palmer Books. That's Burl.com. That's the easiest way.
You know, this is, like, as you can all tell, we're going to be having a long-running series with AGI because, like I said before, at the beginning of the show, rather, that we're just touching the surface of this topic. But it invades so many parts of our lives, artificial intelligence. Without it, I couldn't be talking to you right now, RD. We may not have even connected if it wasn't for Peter Younghusband, because Peter Younghusband is in Australia. I'm here in U.S. of A., and guess what? Back 30 years ago, this could not have been possible, but it is. So we understand the usefulness of artificial intelligence. We understand the innovations that technology brings us. But do we truly want to be subjected to artificial general intelligence, which does not have human components that we can relate to? Sure, it's highly intelligent. Sure, it thinks faster than the rest of us, but it cannot empathize. It cannot connect with us. It will never have an emotional awareness of us. Is this something we really want to have power over us? And that's something that this series of show is hoping to get to your attention, and hopefully you can affect change by talking to these companies that's trying to develop this, not trying to, they are developing this artificial general intelligence. They're developing this now because we want it. We want that access to information right away. We want something to take care of things for us. Like you said in one broadcast, and you can give me the guy who quoted it, you said artificial general intelligence will be the last human invention. Do we really want that? Do we really want that? I mean, there's something for us to really think about, guys. You know, do we really want to be dependent on creation for the stuff that God gave us to create? God created us to create. Do we really want to be dependent on that? So what are your final thoughts as we get ready to end our show today, RD? What are your final thoughts?
Well, I think that there's great promise with artificial intelligence. And I think from a Christian standpoint, I would just encourage people to read their Bibles and then understand that God has given us so much, and that our relationship is with God and not with artificial intelligence. The fear is that artificial intelligence is going to give us a tremendous amount, but don't be swayed by what it can give.
I cannot think of a better way to end the show, so thank you. Thank you, RD, so much for being with us today for our series. I cannot wait to have you back, and as I always say, have you back real soon.
Very good. Thank you.
And we were talking today to R.D. Palmer. For those of you who may not know, R.D. took all his thoughts and is putting it into a series called The One, talking about a fictional artificial general intelligence that has taken over the planet and what a few faith-based people are doing to get rid of its rule. You can read his book, The One, available at rdpalmerbooks.com. And let me tell you, it's getting rave reviews, and there's a reason for that. You want to know that reason? Go ahead and pick up your copy of The One. And we'll be talking about that book later on the Right Stuff program coming up, I think next month or the month after that. I can't remember which one. We'll be talking about that with RD. But while we're doing that, we want to give you this information so you can be aware and conscious of the decisions that are happening around you. Don't just be lackadaisical in this. Be active in this. This is your life after all. If artificial general intelligence becomes the norm, what will that mean for you? We hope these series of programs help you answer that question. And, of course, answer the question of what is God to you? Is God a computer program, or is he a personal, loving Savior who not only looked and created you, but he came down from heaven to earth? He experienced every human emotion possible so he can connect with us. That's the guy that we refer to. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.